You are listening to yet another production of KFJC's Pandemic Players. Today's episode, The Strange Dr. Weird, was written by Robert Emmett based upon a classic radio play.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you, but there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, a woman with murder in her heart, as in my story tonight. A story I call The Voice of Death. My story, The Voice of Death, begins in the snow-covered wilderness of Canada. In a high, narrow canyon, a man and a woman on skis sit resting on the trunk of a fallen tree, catching their breath.
Blanche, I can't tell you how sorry I am. Uncle John didn't leave you anything in the will.
Oh, there's nothing to be sorry about, Gerald. After all, I was only your Uncle John's second cousin.
I wish Jane and Dan had taken it as well. They certainly were downcast after reading the will this morning.
Well, naturally. They were your uncle's niece and nephew, too, and had hoped to share the estate with you. You can't blame them for being disappointed.
No, I suppose not.
We'd better be starting back to the lodge. I can see you're a bit uneasy about being in this canyon.
Well, isn't it a bit dangerous being here? Look how the snow is piled up on each side of the canyon. If there was a snowslide, we'd be buried alive.
It isn't that dangerous. Of course, a loud noise or someone shouting might start a slide. Come on along.
There is some sort of scientific explanation for this, isn't there?
Huh?
I mean, vibrations sent out by the voice.
Yes, that's right. I've often stood outside the mouth of a canyon and started snowslides with nearby shouting.
Snowslide must be quite a sight. Hundreds of tons of snow roaring and crashing down.
Well, you can breathe easily now. We're out of danger. Oh, dear.
Lose something?
Oh, yes. My camera. I think I left it back on the trunk of the tree we were sitting on. Oh, Gerald, would you mind getting it for me?
No, of course not, Blanche.
You say it's on the trunk of the tree?
Yes, yes. That's right. Do you see it, Gerald?
No, Blanche, I don't.
Perhaps it fell in the snow. Look around.
I am looking, but I don't see any sign of it. Blanche, the snow!
Gerald, run this way. Too bad, Gerald. But that's what happens to people who stand between me and $1 million.
Oh, Blanche, it's so terrible. Gerald, buried under all that snow. Perhaps we should have stayed in the canyon until they found the body.
Nonsense, Jane. There's nothing we could have done there.
Dan and I will share Uncle John's estate now. But I'd gladly give up my share for bringing Gerald back alive.
I know you would, dear. We crossed the river here, Jane.
But the ice looks so thin. Blanche, we didn't cross here on the way to the canyon, did we?
No, dear, this is a shortcut.
Oh, Blanche, it looks too dangerous.
It will support us. I'll tell you what. I'll cross first.
Oh, Blanche, I wish you wouldn't. The ice is going to break any minute.
Nonsense. See, I'm already halfway across.
But I can see cracks in the ice under your feet.
So can I, but the ice is still strong enough to support me. See, I made it. Now, Jane, it's your turn.
Blanche, I'm frightened.
Darling, there is nothing to be afraid of. Now come along.
Well, all right.
Look, you'd better take your skis off. I think you'll find it easier to walk across than to ski over the ice. You're not as good a skier as I am, you know.
Very well, Blanche, if you say so.
Hurry, dear. It will soon be dark.
I've got them off now. Here I come.
That's it. I told you the ice would hold you.
Blanche, the ice feels as though it would give away under my feet at any second.
It felt the same way when I crossed, but as you can see, I managed.
Blanche, oh, the ice is breaking. Help! Blanche, I can't swim. Blanche, don't let me die!
Oh, poor Jane. She should have known better, taking off her skis before crossing the ice. Well, now that only leaves Dan.
Will Blanche succeed in getting rid of Dan? Will she get Uncle John's estate? Will Dr. Weird be back to tell us the rest of this chilling tale?
Yes, yes. I'll be back. But with all these questions, aren't you going to ask about KFJC and the hats people can get by donating at kfjc.org?
No, I'm not. You see, Doctor, KFJC has a couple of choices for headgear. KFJC has a black beanie as well as a sporty black baseball cap. Seriously. You can't look any better than wearing KFJC headgear. These are smart, fashionable, and show you support for KFJC. And these aren't available in any stores for any price. You can only get a KFJC beanie or sporty baseball cap as thanks for your generous donation to KFJC. Go to kfjc.org and choose Donate. Now, let's see what further chills the voice of death will bring us, Dr. Weird.
And now to continue my story, The Voice of Death. It is the day following the tragic deaths of Gerald and Jane, in the living room of the luxurious lodge of the late John Drake. There are Blanche, Dan, and Sidney Rand, attorney for the estate. There is a strange look in Mr. Rand's eyes as he speaks to Blanche.
All I can say is, it's very odd, Blanche. First, you go skiing with Gerald, and he dies under a snowslide. And then a few hours later, while alone with you, Jane drowns crossing a river.
Don't like your attitude. You act as though I caused their deaths.
Blanche is right, Mr. Rand. You haven't any right to say that. The village coroner said their deaths were completely accidental.
I know what the village coroner said. It doesn't mean I have to agree.
Now look, it's 5 o'clock now. If you don't start for the village station right away, you're going to miss your train.
Then you won't change your mind and come with me?
No, no. I told you I was staying here for another week. I need the rest.
I just hope you don't find permanent rest up here.
And what do you mean by that?
Just this. If anything were to happen to you, Blanche would be heir to everything. Think it over.
Oh, Dan, you don't believe I had anything to do with their deaths, do you?
Of course not, Blanche. It's absurd to think that you were involved in any way.
4 days passed. Days in which steadily falling snow kept Dan and Blanche cooped up in the lodge. With each day that passed, Blanche seemed increasingly nervous and jumpy for no reason that was apparent to Dan. When the fifth day dawned bright and clear, Dawn suggested a long ski run, and Blanche eagerly agreed. After skiing a few minutes, she called out.
Dan? Dan, we aren't going through the canyon, are we?
Well, of course we are.
Dan, let's go around it this time.
But that's 3 miles further on. What's wrong with going through the canyon? Oh, is it because that's where Gerald died?
Yes. I can't do it, Dan.
Oh, come on. Hope you're not brooding about Gerald's death. We've got to go on.
I'm not brooding, but Dan, have you heard a voice calling outside the house the past several months?
A voice?
Yes. I've woken up several times thinking I heard Gerald's voice calling out in the storm.
Oh, Blanche, come on. All you heard was the wind howling, that's all. Now come on, will you? We've got to get through this canyon. That's the only way we're going to calm your nerves. Attagirl, now only a couple hundred more yards and we'll be out of the canyon.
Let's hurry, Dan. This is where it happened.
Well, come along then, if you want to hurry.
Blanche! Blanche!
It's Gerald! It's Gerald's voice!
Blanche! Blanche! This is where you killed me!
Oh no! No!
Blanche? Why have you stopped? Come on!
I'm dead, Blanche! You killed me!
I don't hear anything! I don't! It's just my imagination!
Blanche, would you come along?
I'll never leave until you tell the truth.
Oh, no!
Confess. Confess.
Yes. Yes, I murdered you. I caused the snowslide. I shouted, and I caused it. I did it because the fortune was mine. Mine! And I was cheated out of it. Now be quiet. Don't talk to me anymore. Don't talk to
Blanche,
me!
Blanche, look out! The snow's sliding!
What? No! Help me!
As Dan stared, stunned, at the spot where Blanche had vanished under tons of snow, Mr. Rand, the lawyer, came skiing up to him from around the outcropping of rock.
Dan, you fool. You were so close to that snowslide, you almost died yourself.
Mr. Rand, I think she's dead. She's buried underneath all that snow.
Yes, I know. Well, you heard her confess, didn't you?
Yeah, but when I agreed to follow the instructions you'd left in my mailbox, I never thought it would come to this. I kept telling myself she was innocent.
Yes, but she wasn't. I knew she couldn't be. That's why I made her think I was clearing out. Instead, I went down to the gamekeeper's cottage by the lake. That's where I've been the last few days.
Yeah, I got that after I got your first note. The one where you asked me not to show any surprise, no matter what happened. But Mr. Rand, the voice that Blanche heard in the night, and the voice just now, I could have sworn it was Gerald's voice.
I counted on that. I knew Gerald well, and vocal imitations are a sort of parlor trick of mine. My scheme was a wild one, Dan. But it was the only possibility of getting a confession from her. Those murders she committed were perfect.
Yeah, two perfect murders. And she was so beautiful.
Her own screams brought down the snowslide, which killed her. And I don't think all the judges in the world could have found a more fitting punishment than the one her own conscience provided.
Too bad about poor, beautiful Blanche, wasn't it? Looks like the man who said the female of the species is more deadly than the male knew what he was talking about. But wait, if you're an heir and you know someone who stands to gain by your death, I'd be very careful to stay away from... Oh, you have to go now? Perhaps you'll drop in on me again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weird.
You have just listened to The Strange Dr. Weird, a classic radio play performed by KFJC's own Pandemic Players, safely and remotely over Zoom. The cast included Mr. Slippy as Dr. Weird, Robert Emmett as Gerald, Ann Arbor as Blanche, Slartina Bartfast as Jane, Sam Yorko as Mr. Sidney Rand, Devlin as Dan, directed by Ann Arbor, sound designed by Devlin. The music was written and performed by James Armstrong. I, Avakov, am your faithful announcer. Stay safe and stay tuned to KFJC for another exciting episode presented by the Pandemic Players. Or visit kfjc.org and click the red Pandemic Players button to listen to the archive.
That's a wrap.
Well done. That's pretty good that we put it to bed in one afternoon in
that
2 hours.
So much better than doing it 28 times like we did last year.
I agree. But you know, we're learning to work together more effectively. And this Sunday group is amazing. You guys are great.
Yeah, the Monday group are just pikes. They're just terrible.
Blanche, look out! The snow sliding.
What?
Oh no, Mr. Bill!
I think you really have competition now. Slarty is going to take all your femme fatale roles away from you. He was great.
Yeah. If it's good enough for Shakespeare, I guess it should be good enough for us.
For the Pandemic Players, yes. Jane is Slarty. Art. Yes.
Isn't there a feminine version of that name?
No.
How about Slartina Bartfast?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Jane, you
Slartina. I like
Slartina too.